You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org. Love, the possibility for change, and learning.
Yes.
Can we define those as they relate to somebody facing cancer?
Well, let's take love for starters. Nonviolence is about love. Do we love ourselves, our bodies, enough to be in a loving relationship, even with that part of us that is running amok? Can we lovingly let it go? Can we lovingly activate our immune system, activate the healthy parts of our body? Thank them for the wonderful job they're doing in releasing the disease elements. Can we receive the love of those who come forward to care for us? I've spoken to many, many people dealing with cancer and other life-threatening diseases, and they say one of the hardest things to do is accept help. You know, I'm strong, I'm independent, and all of a sudden I'm on my back and I need people to cook for me and wash me and drive me and whatever. And can we love ourselves and our family and friends enough to let them care for us? So love comes in many, many forms in the healing journey. The possibility for change, I find certainly for myself three times now with cancer and other people that I've worked with and that I know, well, the one thing cancer does, or any serious illness, is alert us to the fact of our mortality. And when we face our mortality, we realize we have choices. We realize we've been walking through life in some degree of unconsciousness, and we are now aware of the preciousness of life, the preciousness of every single moment, and that we have choices in every single moment, how we will be. I'll give you an example. The first time I had breast cancer, I did some thinking and reflecting and journeying about what that meant in my life, and I thought of the tumor as something that was like a fist. It was hard, it was round, it was impacted energy, energy that wasn't moving. And think of a closed fist. And I realized that in many ways I had been living my life like that. Emotionally, I was closed and impacted and hardened. And could I learn, could I see the possibilities of living my life like the open hand? Letting things flow, not trying to control things as much. And that became a metaphor for my healing journey. So the possibilities for change when we realize, oh, hello, I'm alive. I might not be alive X number of days from now. What can I do with the life, the precious moments that I have? It opens many possibilities for change. And then learning is really the umbrella of it all. In every moment, there's a lesson. Many cancer survivors that I know say that in retrospect, they see that journey as one of the greatest blessings in their life, and certainly true for me, because it opens the doorways to learning about things I never even imagined I could think about, let alone learn about. As an example, it never occurred to me that peace and healing could be related, and suddenly I'm learning all about that.
What have you learned about a peaceful approach to the healing process from cancer?
In my work as a professional peace builder, and I have worked all over the world in places of deep-rooted conflict and in this country as well for three decades now, in that work I have come up with four basic principles of peace. And when I say peace, I don't just mean the absence of war, or I don't just mean the signing of a peace agreement in a war zone. I mean, when I say peace, I mean a whole system of peace.
Can we quickly go through those four?
Sure. The first one is community, the power of interconnectedness. The second is nonviolence, the power of love. The third is witness, the power of presence. And the fourth is cooperation, or the power of sharing power.
Let me ask you about the third of those, the role of witness. How do you see the role of a witness in a person's life in the face of a condition like cancer?
Okay. For me, the word witness here is not somebody outside witnessing you, but it is myself becoming a living witness of the presence of peace. So it's finding that place of inner peace, the peace sanctuary deep inside, that seed of peace that we are, I believe, all encoded with, and activating it, living it, manifesting it in our daily life, being able to tap into that energy at any time, at will, not that we're there all the time, but when we remember to be able to go to that place of inner peace and then express that inner peace through our actions, through our thoughts, through our relationships, through our everyday lives. So it's witnessing that presence within us, simply awakening it.
You said we all have a sanctuary of peace inside that's built in, that's encoded in our nature.
Yes.
How do we find that? How do we get to that safe harbor when feeling besieged by a life-threatening illness?
Well, very often it is only when we are besieged by a life-threatening illness that we realize we need and want to go there, unfortunately.
So there's part of the gift right there.
There's part of the gift right there. I know that when you're in a lot of stress, it is hard to calm and quiet, and yet that's when we most need it. So even to take 3 minutes a day to just stop, sit quietly, close one's eyes, breathe. The breath is the greatest gift. It's the breath of life. We're still alive. Breathe and just let our body relax and go inside and just simply ask, you know, what is my place of peace? What does it look like? And most people will get an image. And for many people, not all, but for many people, that image will be something in nature. Or it will be something from their childhood, a place or an experience in their childhood that felt very safe, that felt very warm and wonderful. And that's it. That's your peace sanctuary. And just to kind of stay in that place and breathe it in and feel it and let it fill you, let yourself steep in the energetic quality of it. And then you can go there whenever you want because you know what it looks like and you know how to get there.
Very, very beautiful. Is there anything before we close, Louise, that you would like to add?
I would like to say one thing about the first principle, community, the power of interdependence, interconnectedness. I spoke earlier about letting one's community take care of you when you're ill, but one of the biggest lessons I got this time was the inner community, and that is to realize, I realized that all my cells and organs and tissues were a living community. And just like an external community, they could be mobilized for healing. Because my external community prayed for me and supported me and helped me and drove me and all that. Well, the internal community can do the same. So I would have community meetings of my body. And I would say, okay, everybody, you know, where is their need today for special attention? Oh, okay, the whatever is hurting. Can we send whatever cells are needed there, white cells? I don't know. I never really remembered what all the different cells do, but some people know that. Whatever cells are needed there, can you please go there now and help that part of the body? And it was a hoot, you know. It's a totally different way of approaching healing, and guess what? I think it really works.
Well, the connection between our mind and our body is very subtle, it's very deep, and it's very powerful.
Yes.
We've been talking with Louise Diamond. She is author of The Courage for Peace. Are there any others that you'd like us to know about?
The Peace Book, 108 Simple Ways to Make a More Peaceful World. Those two books plus this CD, The Healing Power of Peace, are available at The Peace Company, www.thepeacecompany.com. And the phone number there is 802-453-7191.
You should repeat the phone, please.
802-453-7191.
What a joy to talk with you again. I thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you, David. It's always a pleasure to speak together.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.